Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of the BISD Roundtable. I'm your host, Ed Pothel, and with me this week is the Director of Information Technology with the Brenham School District, Kim Strauss. And Kim, welcome back to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great to have you here. And first of all, if you could just kind of give us an overview, what's happening with technology in the BISD classrooms?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. Thank you so much. It's the point in the year where we have lots of new concepts being taught. You know, the first beginning of school is where we kind of review and go backwards, and the end of school we review and go backwards. And so right here in the middle is where we're learning all that new content, and teachers are using technology to develop student skills. We have an hour of code coming up from December 4th through the 8th. That's our yearly coding week where we really focus on conceptual learning with the kids, and they do lots of different activities in different classrooms. But right now, our big focus in technology is to personalize student learning.
All right. What exactly is personalized learning? What's the environment, and why is it good for students?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that question because it's an important one. A lot of people think that we want kids to stare at a screen all day when we talk about personalizing an environment with technology, but that could be no further. That's not the truth at all. It's very far from the truth, because when we're talking about personalizing learning, it means engaging students in a way that has true meaning for them. Let me ask you a question. Do you personalize your cell phone screen, or tell me how you might personalize your cell phone screen?
You mean like it, mm-hmm. I've got a couple of family pictures in it.
Yeah, you have family pictures on it. Yeah. Sometimes people load apps onto their smartphones and rearrange them on the screen so they can get to them easily. If you think about personalizing in that way, people set reminders on their phone and have their phone, you know, maybe beep or indicate that they need to stop at the store and pick up milk, or they have a contacts list in their phone that's personalized to them. So when we're talking about personalizing in the classroom, it's the same type of thing. It's the technology is available to everybody, but how is it meaningful to you, and how can it best work? We kind of look at it in three ways. We have intervention and enrichment. Students, of course, participate in different programs like Dreambox, Reading Plus, Lexia, Connexus, which is used at Pride Academy and for credit recovery, and then Plato, which is in our CTE department. And that's where they actually are working individually on a computer through a course, you know, some type of course or coursework, which would be mostly for intervention, intervening into their learning structure, whether it be for credit or just to build information and gaps in their learning. But we also have it used in for enrichment purposes. We're using a skeleton at the high school in one of the courses with an iPad, where they're actually able to go in and look at the movement of the skeleton as it relates to the human body. And really exciting is at the junior high, we have a project going on called Mission Possible. They went to a program last Saturday. And the students are looking at a future world that's going to be located on Mars, and they're supposed to plan ahead with what that could look like. And so one option for them was to build a model of their future world, and some students chose to build it in Minecraft. So we had Minecraft for Education for them, and the space that they built was actually 100 square feet. So that would be as large as, you know, a regular size room. Right. But imagine filling a regular size room with Legos. And if you were to build something with Legos, it fills up the size of 100 square feet. That's what they were building digitally. Minecraft is like Legos, digital Legos, so to speak. So that's pretty amazing. We look at for personalization, we look at classroom organization. We use Google Classroom in our school district for many of our grade levels, and this is how the teacher is assigning work and students are turning in work or having conversations about the work, true feedback where the teacher is able to look at the assignment and give immediate feedback. Happens through Google Classroom, and parent communication can also occur through Google Classroom. Google Calendar is used a lot in Brenham ISD on a staffing level, but as well as on a student level, a part of communication, and it personalizes what's going on for the students and the staff. And then for our pre-K, K, and 1 students, we use something called Symbaloo, which personalizes their learning, and because they're so young that We, of course, are very selective on what type of technology applications they can use. So we build a touchscreen environment where they can touch the application and go. They're sort of similar to an iPad, but it's done on the Chromebook. And then, of course, we use we want creative outlets for students where they have voice and choice and how they're demonstrating their knowledge. And so the one that we're using right now is called Flipgrid.
All right. Now, well, what is Flipgrid and how is that being utilized?
Flipgrid is pretty amazing. It's a new application that is a moderated environment where students can give a 1 minute and 30 second or less video response to a student, to a teacher question or comment. So the teacher will, perhaps ask the students to look at, let's just say, a math worksheet. And the students have worked all the problems, and then the teacher may say, okay, pick one, or she may assign one. And the students actually use the Chromebook to videotape themselves discussing their thinking on the math problem. That is significant because we are able to have what we call visible learning, meaning that we see with this, like we've always said for a million years, you know this, show your work. But this way they're showing their work in a written format, which has always been required, but they're also discussing their work. You're having these short conversations that are being videotaped, and then you're able to distinguish, oh, they have clear understanding of this concept, or they have really good understanding, but maybe they're missing a little piece. Because it's moderated, this only goes back to the teacher. It's not shared publicly. It's not necessarily shared with other students, although it could be. And it's just become a very, very valuable tool, and it's super easy. I walked into a first grade classroom last week and asked them to help me with something for this week's board meeting. And the first grade student said, oh, we're using Flipgrid. And he was able to, you know, push the buttons because it's just that simple. At Brenham Elementary, we were using Flipgrid for some parent involvement because Flipgrid has a phone app. So the teacher can put out a question to parents and the parents can respond back using the phone app or have their student record something using the phone app. We have at our alternative campus, our teacher there, Mark Blankenship, actually had students recording a Flipgrid video discussing what they learned while they were at the alternative campus before they returned to their home campus, which was very telling. And then we also had an ECLC teacher with our early childhood suggesting that she could use Flipgrid to create like a digital portfolio of the four-year-old's understanding of maybe conversational skills because they could ask questions back and forth and from the beginning of the year to the end of the year are the reflections on different field trips and watch their verbal abilities grow. So Flipgrid has been really a kind of an interesting embellishment on the idea of a video response, but it requires Chromebooks that are up to date. And so we will be looking at refreshing some of our Chromebooks.
Well, now, why do we need to update Chromebooks if we already have them in the classrooms?
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. You know, with technology, it's always changing. People like to change their phones every 2 to 3 years. And the same thing happens with our Chromebook technology. We were one of the early adopters, and we've had Chromebooks in our classrooms for 5 years, going on six. And their operating systems have worn out, even if the hardware hasn't worn out. So they may look pretty on the outside, but the insides are no longer able to keep up with the codes that are on all the different website and applications. And so we have to refresh them just like we refresh our telephones or we refresh our desktop computers and laptop computers.
And how are teachers developing their technology skills?
That's a great question, too, because our students seem to keep us, pushing us forward. They're never scared to click something and see how it works. And so we have to offer training for our teachers, even though our students sometimes are like, oh, we got this. But we have a couple of different initiatives going on. We have one called Geek Week. We have six sessions per year that we offer to our teachers. They're usually 30 minutes to 45 minutes in length, and they occur during lunch and conference periods before and after school. And it's to focus on specific strategies to increase student engagement, such as using Flipgrid. We also have a little bit deeper initiative going on called We Lead BISD, and it's where we have, through a application process, we've selected very specific teachers on each campus, and our instructional specialists in the technology department go into the classroom. We wrote a goal for students. We talked to the teacher and asked what type of student skill over a period of years, you know, have we noticed that it's just the one skill they're having trouble understanding, and how then developing strategies of how we can use technology to try to strengthen that skill. And we're looking at ways that we can gather data of did this technology and instructional strategy improve the student's understanding and mastery of the skill. So that's going on for the first time this year. And this is our first semester, so we don't have all of our data yet, but our early anecdotal data is been pretty exciting, where having the technology specialist work with the classroom specialist, the teacher, and we're seeing student benefits in terms of just even minor things like reading a paragraph and gaining a main idea, a concept, but it's just the way that it was presented. We got better responses back from the students. So technology is going really well right now in Brenham ISD.
All right. And Kim, anything else we need to touch on this morning?
That's it. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Thanks for being here. And again, our guest this morning on the BISD Roundtable has been the Director of Information Technology with the Brenham ISD, Kim Strauss. Thanks for joining us. We do remind you that no program next week because next Thursday's Thanksgiving, so hopefully everybody will have a very safe and happy Thanksgiving. Of course, the BISD is off all of next week. Students will be off next week. The teachers and instructors, they'll be working, but the kids will have the week off. And so we will see you again in 2 weeks right here on the BISD Roundtable.